Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel, links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Well, praise God. Hope all of y'all are glad to be in church this morning. Hope nobody had to be drugged here by gunpoint or anything like that or shamed into being here. I hope you came because you're hungry for the Word of God. So get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. And I want to continue on the message that I've been talking about, the mantle of God. And, if you haven't been hearing the messages, you haven't been able to keep up with them, you know, you can go on iTunes or any of the iPod formats, and you can go in, just type in The Waterhole, it'll come up, you can download them, you can be listening to what's going on. If you miss a service, you can catch up with what was going on. It's a really cool feature. You need to always put on there that you like it, whether you do or not. It gives me better ratings, and I need to have good ratings. It's about time, you know. It's really interesting because I'm not big on social media. I'm just not. I use an email and I use a texting, and other than that, that's about all I ever do. But when the church put out on the Facebook, you know, hey, you know, going to the iTunes and do this and da 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 da, you know, and then recommend it to a friend. Everything started growing, and it's amazing how what you know and the people that you know that don't attend church here, when they go to the website or go to the, you know, to the station and they listen, and then they suggest it to their friends. It's amazing what multiplication can do, that ripple effect of you touched one, but then that one touched one, you know, and it just goes on. And so I encourage you always, if you know, be the salespeople for the website, for the church and what's going on. Let your friends know. Let people know all the time. Run it out there on your Facebook or whatever you're doing, because you're going to a whole other venue of people that I have no idea who they are and would never, you know, run across them. So anyway, but this message that I've been preaching on the mantle of God, and I, you know, like I said when I started this message, there's a lot of preachers, you know, have preached on this forever, and they always try to make it, and I'm not knocking anybody, but I'm just saying that it always ends up being a real spiritual high-end message, and it's not what I'm trying to get here. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that every one of you in here, whether you realize it or not, you were created in your mother's womb. God knew you before you were born. Before you came out into this world, God knew you. He knew your name. He knew what was going to go on. He knew your end from your beginning. And in all of that, God has prepared, He's made a way for you to walk supernaturally with Him. Whether you ever walk that path or not, whether you ever determined to go down that road or not, whether you went off and did your own thing, you missed God a million times, whatever it is in your life, it doesn't really make any difference, because you got to understand something. God is still there waiting for you right where you took off, right where you went down the other trail. God's still waiting for you. And no matter how much you go around the mountain, and no matter how much you circle around life, and no matter how you, you know, wind around to get down there, God's still waiting for you, every one of you. That's the sad thing about it. When people don't know Jesus, and I see people shipwrecked in life, and I see people hurting in life, and I'm like, man, God's right there for you, and He wants to do the best thing for you. But they get a negative, through religion or whatever, get a negative twist on God, and nobody wants to talk to God, when He's the only person that's really for you. You with me? And so, through all of that that God did, He has a mantle. Now, a mantle, you know, and about the only thing we understand about a mantle is a jacket, you know, and man, it's almost jacket wearing season. Huh? I mean, we don't get to wear jackets too much around here, you know what I'm saying? Our winters are pretty short, but you can almost, you know, like go, you need to find your brush jacket. If you don't have it yet in the truck, I'm telling you, you're going to need it. You're going to get caught someday and you're going to be cold. So, you know, I always make sure on September 1st, I find my brush jacket and I put it under the seat of my truck just in case. You just don't know. It's Texas, you know. be 110 one day and snowing the next. And so the brush jacket comes out. Well, the brush jacket, you know, it's just my jacket. It's this canvas jacket. I've had one ever since I was a kid. I'm comfortable wearing it. I like it. I can do anything in the world with one. And that would be like the mantle. This coat, this when you say mantle, they had this jacket, this apparel that they wore, and in those days it designated what you did. So blind men had beggars' mantles or beggar's jacket. A prophet had a prophet's jacket. Depending on what group of prophets he was with, it may have been a different color or this or that or whatever. But God has something that's a mantle for you. He has an anointing for your life so that you can live with Him supernaturally, to be the mother, to be the grandmother, to be the wife, to be whatever your job is to be. God is there to see that you are supernaturally blessed and provided for. And so I've gone through, and I can't go back and review everything about understanding that mantle. I've just got to pick up today and go on, which is simply this. For the next few weeks, I want to teach you how to walk in that anointing. All right? I've spent weeks, months, I don't know how many messages I got out there. It's a bunch. I'm trying to convince you that you are anointed and you do have a mantle. I hope now you've gathered it and taken it onto you. Now I want to teach you how to walk in it. I want to tell you how to put that thing on and how you're supposed to walk in it, okay? So, 2 Kings chapter 2. I want to say this before I go on. You know, when I was just a kid, in I'm talking 10 years old, always right around Christmas time, I never really understood it, but around Christmas time when everybody else was happy and everything like that, I was usually sad. I'd have to watch myself. I would be sad because I kept always seeing people who didn't have anything. I was blessed. I had a great family. And I knew I was going to have Christmas, and I knew everything was good, but I would start to notice, and I would get overwhelmed as a young boy, just grieving for people that didn't have anything and just wanting to make the world a better place. Well, you know, I didn't know what it was. Didn't know it was the call of God on my life. Didn't know that was way back then. God was dealing with my heart to rescue orphans and to rescue people and preach the gospel. I didn't know that's what it was. And so I went on. But then when I got to be, you know, let's say 15, well, you know, chasing girls and playing football and doing, you know, sports and all that became pretty dominant. But every year around Christmas, I'd still have that twinge on the inside of me. All I'm saying is that y'all probably have similar stories that you maybe really haven't recognized before in your life. And that is the true anointing and calling on your life that's in you, that's always been in you, that you've never recognized. That's what I'm talking about. Now taking it and getting hold of it and beginning to use it. We've been using the story of Elijah and Elisha, and so I'm just going to pick up. I want to do some reading here, so y'all just follow along. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "It came to pass that when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha to Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel.' And Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master today? Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' He said, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' And Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know today that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' And he answered and said, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' And Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, he rolled it up, he struck the waters and divided this way and that so that the two of them crossed on dry ground. So it was that as they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I do for you before I'm taken away from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of the Spirit be upon me, of your Spirit be upon me. And he said to him, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken up from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as Asa continued to walk, then suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by the whirlwind unto heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes. He tore them in two pieces. He took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and he stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he struck the waters, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And then also he struck the waters that divided in this way and that way, and Elijah crossed over to the other side. Now when the sons of the prophets who were with Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and they bowed the ground before him, and they said to him, look now, there are 50 strong men of your servants. Please let them go and search for your master. Least perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or in some valley. And he said, you shall not send anyone. And they urged him till he was ashamed and said, well, then send him. Therefore, the 50 men, they went searching for 3 days and did not find him. When they came back to him, he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, did I not say to you, do not go? What a story, right? I mean, a pretty wild, amazing story. But in this whole story right here, I want to teach you something. I got 7 points here. We're not going to get through them today. But I got 7 things that this story says right here about understanding how to walk in the mantle and understanding it in your own life. Now, the first one is simply this. Right there in the very first verses, it says, when it came to pass, the Lord was about to take up Elijah to go to heaven by a whirlwind. Then Elijah went to Elisha from Gilgal, and Elijah said, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The very first thing you're going to understand and get hold of in revelation in your own life, if you're going to walk in the mantle that you were already destined to walk in, is simply this. You got to know what you want. I mean, it sounds pretty simple, but right there, Elijah's trying to tell him, no, stay here. And he could have said, well, okay, I don't really want to walk down to Bethel. People today give up on dreams too easy. It's a little difficult, it's a little hard, and people just give up. Listen to me, if you want to walk in what God's got you, you've got to want it. You've got to want to walk in the supernatural. I don't understand it. Maybe I'm whacked out. You know, maybe there's something wrong with me, but I do not understand becoming a Christian, reading your Bible, but not wanting God to move in your life. I don't understand that. I mean, as a Christian, when I first got saved and I started reading my Bible, I was like, wait a minute, nobody ever told me this. What? This happened? I didn't know this happened. Wait a minute. I didn't know there was healing for today. I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. I didn't know there was power. I didn't know you could pray for things that should happen. I grew up in religion where when the pastor got up and read the prayer request, all I knew was that was the list of death. My fear was not the fear of God, but the fear of ever being put on the prayer request, because when he read it, it was not 3 weeks later, then they were announcing the funeral services for the person who had been on the list. All I know is I don't want on that list. Are you with me? No, that wasn't a God of power. Folks, we're supposed to walk in power. We're supposed to walk in prayers being answered. And if you're living a life and your prayers aren't being answered, and you're just kind of, you know, you just got your ticket number, so you if you die, you'll go to heaven. And that's all you're living for. Well, you know, I'm sorry, you're missing the boat. We live in a days right now of power, signs, and wonders. We live in the days that God, I'm telling you, wants to come down into your life and minister to you, wants to speak to you, wants to give you revelation, he wants to talk to you, he wants to give you deals, he wants to see jobs, provision, whatever it is in life. But if you don't know what you want and you're just sitting around going to see if it's going to come to pass, folks, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You know, I read an article the other day that there's a new DNA test that you can go. It's in England. And that you go to it and they do all this test. It didn't say how much it costs. I'm sure more than we'd ever want to pay. But it'll tell you how long you're going to live. Because what they do is, what they're doing is they're doing your DNA, and then they're matching up to the health and the predisposition you would have to certain diseases or whatever, and they're just picking averages and saying, okay, well, you know, you come from pretty good genetic stock, and we're going to see this happen like this, and then you should live to this age. And that's bar you don't get run over by a bus or something like that. Y'all with me? And so I thought about that for a minute. I said, you know, it doesn't make me any difference. Since the day I got saved, I determined that I was going to live my life for Jesus every day. And whatever happens, happens. That I just want to be ready at all times to meet Jesus. Have I done everything right? No, I haven't done. I can sit here and say, oh, everything was perfect. And then I'm just saying, that was my determination. That was what I focused my sights on. I said, I want to go this direction. This is what I want. And if you don't do that in your life, you're never going to walk in the supernatural. He said, well, I don't really need to walk in the supernatural. I just walk in the natural. And then eventually I'm going to die and I'm going to go to heaven. But you're not fulfilling your potential. Well, I don't know. I don't really want to. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sorry, you're being wishy-washy, and the Bible talks about wishy-washy people. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Nobody likes that verse. Nobody has that written on the front page of their Bible to read every morning. Oh, Lord, thank you. I'm going through trials today because it's going to produce patience within me. That's nobody's favorite scripture. If it is, so there's something very wrong with you. Okay? But I want you to know this. My scripture reads kind of like this. Oh, if I'm going to fall into a trial, I'm going to win. My confidence is not in me. My confidence is in Him. And that Jesus said that whatever He promised me, He would perform it. My confidence is not in my abilities, my strength, my endurance. My confidence is in my God. Hello? It's nice to sit back. Listen to me. I can't tell you this morning what's going to happen in the world to come. All right? I'm not going to even attempt to predict what's going to happen. You know? You've got everybody in the world. You've got... You know, let's just throw a few out here. You've got doomsday preppers. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being prepared. If you're a doomsday prepper, then, you know, glory to God. Maybe you need to show me how to, you know, make jerky better or something. I don't know. Okay? But you got doomsdayist over here. Then, you know, you move up the scale a little bit right here. You've got just, you know, just people that are kind of concerned about the deal. And then you get right here. And then you get, you know, all the way to the other end of the spectrum. You'd be, you know, somebody that's out there that's case to Ross rather than us worried about anything that is going out there and doing whatever. All right? I just want you to know I'm prepared for anything. Hear what I'm saying? I'm prepared for anything. I'm prepared for any which way it goes. Doesn't make me any difference because I know Jesus. Right? If it goes good, hey, come on, I'm ready. If it goes bad, hey, come on, I'm ready. It don't make any difference. I'm ready no matter what. And besides that, we're country people. We'll always make it. You know, we're like cockroaches and coyotes. You never get rid of us. When it's all said and done, a redneck will come out of the bushes somewhere, man. I'm telling you, we'll make it. I told you about that. I was visiting with a friend of mine the other day, and he said, what are you going to do? And I said, this is last year. And I said, I've got to go process a deer. I'm going to go and skin a deer and process a deer. And he's like, you're going to do what? And I started laughing. I realized this guy never had no idea what I was talking about. And I was like, dude, what are you going to do when the zombie apocalypse comes, man? You're going to get eat first. I said, we'll still be out here skinning deer, man. We know what we're doing. But you got to know what you want. So he says, Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea. He's driven and tossed by the wind. For that man, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. If you don't want to be a Christian and walk in the power of God, listen to me, I'm just laying it out plain Jane. If you don't want to be a Christian, you don't want to be named a Christian. I'm not talking about a denomination. Forget that. I ain't talking about denominations. I'm talking about a Christian. You recognize that you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're standing up with them in the face of the demon hordes of life. I'm a Christian. And you don't want to walk in the supernatural power of God, well, then you're double-minded. It's like you want to own a car, but you don't want to get a driver's license. Are y'all with me? These are the days and times. I'm not trying to tell you how you need to function in all of this. You can be yourself. I don't care whether you pray in the dark by yourself at night or you get up on your rooftop. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you just can't be unstable. You either are a Christian believing in walking in the power of God and you want that in your life. If that's you, you're going to see victory. Because you're set. You're not unstable. But when you're wishy-washy, well, I don't know if God really does things for us today. You're wishy-washy. Well, I don't know if I pray, God's really going to answer my prayers. You're wishy-washy. He either is a God who's alive and answering prayers, or he's not. And if you're not receiving answers to your prayers in life, it's because something's not right in your relationship with him. And you got to get it fixed. You got to figure out what's going on. I mean, I'm just preaching really good here this morning. Laying it out. So you're not going to walk in the anointing. Simply because you're double-minded, you're unstable. Y'all with me? Look at the person beside you and say, I like that point. So number two, in 2 Kings 2:9, it says, in that story, it says, and so it was that when he crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I'm taken away from you. And Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So in other words, he was asking for the power of God or the mantle of God or the anointing of God or whatever, however you want to say it, that he had seen in Elijah's life. He was asking for twice as much. So he was greedy. Right? Second thing is that you got to be hungry, folks. I said this on Wednesday night's message and used this example, but, you know, I always stop and, you know, I like sports. I like whenever track and field is going on, and I look at these people running and, you know, they're, you know, amazing athletes, but they just didn't wake up every morning and eat Twinkies and got that away. Right now, they may have had, you know, a better physical structure that helped them in their ability to run or to do whatever, right? You know, but they worked hard to get to where they're at. And as a Christian, if we don't work hard and we're not hungry for the things of God, that we're going to spend time reading our Bible, spend time figuring it out, spend time understanding it. How many of us, here's a perfect example. My wife this morning. We have a Gen Air oven. And so we were talking about this morning. She said, I can't find the manual to it. But she said, I know that the oven will set a timer and it'll come on at a certain time. And I could go ahead and put the food in there, and it'll come on at a certain time. It'll cook the, it'll, you know, run it to the temperature, and it'll cook the food. And then by the time we get home from there, I'd leave it. She said, I can't find the man. I don't know how to do it. And wow, just think about that. Put that in your Christian perspective. You've got the power to walk in everything God has for you, but you can't find it in the manual of how to make it work. Because we didn't read the manual. Now, that today we needed it, the oven, to work, but we couldn't find it in the manual, so we didn't do anything, so the oven's sitting there off. It ain't going to come on. Isn't that what Christians do? They don't do anything about their life or their to understand healing or until the doctor says that you've got some disease. And then you're like, oh my God, and you're going and digging in the scriptures trying to catch, you're playing catch up then. No. We can't do that. We can't live like, we got to be hungry now. Proverbs 27:7 says that to the satisfied soul, he loathes the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing sweet. Folks, listen to me. If there's anything I could pray into your life, I would pray for there to be a hunger in you. Because if you have a hunger for God, he says if you ask and if you seek and you knock, you're going to find it. All the preachers and all their fluff and all their smoke blowing and all the altar calls I could give in life cannot ever replace true hunger for God in the hearts of people. I mean a true hunger where you want to know what's real. And I can tell you this, stay in your Bibles and out of religion. Because if you stay in your Bible, you'll find truth. All right? Let's just go there. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, 16. It says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you should honor your father and your mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? Now, this guy, Jesus is just basically quoting the Ten Commandments to him. And this guy said, I've kept that all from my youth. What else do I lack? What was inside of him that was saying he wasn't right with God? Because after he said, I've kept all of those, I've kept the Ten Commandments, I've kept them to the letter of the law, but something on the inside of him was still telling me he wasn't right with God. Are you with me? So then he says, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, you can read that story, and you can say, oh man, Jesus really put the screws to him. I mean, that was tough. I mean, go sell all that you got and give it all away and come and follow me. I mean, that wow. But if you look what he said. Jesus said, I want you to go and give all that you have away and come and be an apostle. You're going to have one of the pillars in the courts of heaven named after you. You have your name in the Bible. You may write a book. You may change a whole nation. You may do whatever. He was giving him an apostleship that day. He offered it to him. I want you to come and follow me. Be an apostle. But the guy couldn't do it because he looking at the money. And he says, man, I know I got a bunch of money. I'm rich. But folks, it's about hunger. How hungry was he? It seemed like he was hungry because he was worried about his salvation. But he wasn't worried about it enough to do what Jesus asked him to do. It's like, oh, can I go find another church that kind of believes a little different? Because I don't feel comfortable lifting my hands in church, so I want to go to one that's a little lesser, but I'm still in, but I'm just not that in. That's all religion is. Is find one that accommodates you, you know, and so that you can don't have to be stretched. Wow. That's what it's all about. But I'm telling you, that's not the way to live. The way to live is to be hungry. The way to live is every day say, Lord, I want to know you more. I ask for hunger. You should be praying to be hungry for the things of God every day. You should be asking the Holy Spirit to keep stirring you to know and know more about Jesus. You should be stretching yourself every day like an athlete in training to continue to just be know more and to be better and to be more comfortable with your mantle and your anointing on your life and believing in the supernatural. And you can cultivate hunger. Listen to me. You can cultivate hunger. You cultivate hunger by you just keep eating. I mean, it works even naturally. So what you do is you take your Bible with you to work, and then you grab you an extra scripture or something every day. You just keep eating, just like you're taking a candy bar with you. You just keep eating. You just keep eating. You just get a little more, a little bit more. You put your get your Christian CD, listen to it. Go to that iTunes. Listen to me preach at you all day long. That ought to stir you up. You know, even if you just flipped it on for 5 minutes, just something. You just did something. That's how you cultivate hunger. All right? So that's the second thing. So the first thing you got to do, listen, is you got to know what you determine what you want. And the second thing you got to do is you got to be hungry. You've got to develop this hunger inside of you. All right? So let me take you to the third thing. In 2 Kings 2:10, he says, so he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken up from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. The third thing you've got to understand is it's going to be a battle. And you've got to keep your eyes on the prize. Listen to me. What I'm telling is not easy. Why? Because we are fleshly, undisciplined, apathetic, lazy by nature, every one of us. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I'm just saying that's our nature. But you know, people that do, extreme athletics and stuff like that, after you go through that period of time of forcing yourself to do it, then all of a sudden you're into a deal where it's easy and you like it and you want more and you want to do more because you've developed that. You've developed that hunger and all. And then they're keeping their eyes on myself. Well, I can go do this. And it's a driving force in their life. You've got to take yourself from where you're at in your Christian walk to that place where you've got that driving force on the inside of you that you can't wait to get up in the morning and read your Bible. You can't wait to have to talk to Jesus. You can't wait to pray. I mean, it's like, oh, these phone calls are distracting me. I just want to talk to heaven, you know. You're hungry for it. But you've got to develop it. It's not going to just come upon you. Listen to me. You're not just going to be sitting in your bed, all of a sudden raise up, and you got it. Philippians chapter 3. Let's go there. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. And look what the Apostle Paul said here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. It says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more. I was circumcised the eighth day in the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which are the laws, blameless. Whew, that's a pretty good resume to be a Pharisee. He says, as a Pharisee, he was blameless. A Pharisee could read the Bible the first four books of the Bible, forwards and backwards. Always thought that was interesting. Why did they need to read it backwards? Maybe there's a few dyslexic ones in the bunch and it helped them out or something. I don't know. But they had to be able to quote it forwards and backwards, all four first four books. That means Genesis, the whole book of Genesis. Just try it. Try to memorize the whole book of Genesis, just it. Be able to memorize it and quote it and not miss a word. Paul said, I'm so studied, so determined that I could do it. I was perfect. I was blameless. But look what he says here. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted as a loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ and be more found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul said, man, I count it, and all of that, all the things I could shout in life, all the things I could put before the religious community and say, look at me, I am amazing. I count it all as a loss just to know Jesus and to know him in his power and his resurrection and his death, just to know him. Folks, that's hunger. That's the hunger we got to have. That's where we've all got to get to. We got to know what we want. We gotta be determined that nothing's gonna. We can't be wishy-washy, but we have to get to this place in life that our hunger and that our eyes on the prize and nothing. Listen to me. Nothing's gonna take us out. I really believe that what happens to us in life is the devil really works overtime, because when you determine you're gonna serve Jesus, you want to know him, you're gonna grow. The enemy is gonna try to cause things to happen and stumble you up and trip you up so that you get your eyes focused on the problem, not your eyes focused on Jesus. It's distractions. When those distractions come up to keep you from spending time and serving him. That's all it is. It's just distractions. But when we get those distractions and we get focused on those problems, we're not hungry for Jesus. We have forgot the prize. So the athlete wants to go out that morning and to exercise, and their shoestring breaks. So they get distracted. Well, I guess I can't go run this morning. I'm going to have to go down to the store and get a shoestring. Well, I'll just get on my way to work. So they change their clothes. They put on their clothes. They go to work, and they go by and get a shoestring. And they bring it home. And they put it on so they're ready for the tomorrow. And so tomorrow comes, and they get started, and their dog ran away. And so now they can't go walk because they're out looking for the dog. Where's the dog? The dog's got to be around here somewhere. So they spend their time that they would have been exercising looking for the dog. And after 3 days of these distractions, it's a proven theory. I mean, it's a proven fact. It's not a theory. That after 3 days of not doing it, you've already lost all the momentum you ever had, and you're not going to even start it back up. It takes 21 days to make a good habit, and it takes 3 days to break it. So after the third day, you're not going to be in the exercise world anymore. That's why there's probably the largest amount of used exercise equipment is out there in the world. Because we're all determined. That looks good. I'll do that. But we just get distracted for 3 days, and then it's in the garage sale. Right? And why do we do that? Because we just get distracted. Hey, I'm guilty myself. I've garage sold some stuff. This is not a message to beat you up. This is a message to give you hope and direction. Jeremiah 29:11, remember he said, I've got a great future for you and hope. This is what this message is about, is to stir you up this morning to try to get you to get your eyes on the prize, to get hungry, to get you know, and not be that wishy-washy person and get down there and nail this thing down and say, look, this is what I'm going to do. Because, see, folks, I really believe that we're in some fast-changing times, okay? And I, like I said, I don't know what the future is going to bring. I'm not really worried about it. I'm going to be able to handle it no matter what. All right? I want you to also. But once you start learning about functioning like this, so that mantle on your knife, you're walking to your bathroom in the morning, you're looking in the mirror and say, hello, mighty man of God. How you doing this morning? Whew, you're looking good. Thank you, Jesus, you're with me. God is in the midst of me today. Lord, I think I'm going to function my anointing today. I declare I'm going to be a husband. I'm going to be a father. I'm going to be whatever your occupation is. I can walk and I can handle any problem today because, God, you said you gave me wisdom. James 1 and 5, you said, if I just ask for godly wisdom, you'd give me godly wisdom. So thank you, Lord, today for godly wisdom. I don't know how many times in life I could tell you just story after story after story after story of me just walking like this and praying like this. Just, Lord, I think it's going to happen like this, that I could just tell you story after story after story that this was averted and that was averted and this was over here because just something I did, it just didn't seem like anything. It was no big booming voice. There was no burning bush. There was no pink elephant running across the road. There was nothing like that that gave me any sense of direction. No. I'm just walking and believing God. You're ordering my steps. You're preparing my way. You're making all the crooked paths straight. And then just, boom, that's happening. Boom, that's happening. That's what I'm talking about for your life. So you got a decision to make because little Johnny got in a fight in school and now you're trying to figure out how to handle it. Well, you just pray, God, give me wisdom. Just help me just figure this all out. Boom, there it is. You know what to do. Rather than getting into yourself and just doing it all by yourself and saying, till you're just crazy in your head, fought with everybody in the family, got no sense anymore, got no sense of direction, got no... nothing, because you're off. See, I want you to walk in that anointing. You're anointed. You already are. To walk through whatever situation there is for your life. I don't care how old you are. Whether you're young or you're old, doesn't make any difference. It's there. God's there with you. He wants to lead you through it. You already have a mantle. You already got a robe to put on to walk as a Christian. What do you think when we get to heaven and talks about the robe of righteousness you're going to? What do you think? That's the first time you ever wore one? No, it's the same robe you've been walking with all your life. You just now realize you got it on. I'm preaching really good, folks. I'm telling some really good stuff here. Some of you just grab hold of it. Just grab hold of it, man. Walk every day. Change your ways, okay? So I'm going to stop right here. So I don't want to get into the next one. It's going to take too long. And so I just encourage you. I can't make you do it. I can't hold you at gunpoint. I can't force you to do it. But I'm telling you the answer. I'm telling you the answer that I can promise you. I'm telling you God wants to bless you today. Look at the person beside you and say, God wants to bless you today. It's so amazing that God is in our midst. Hear what I'm saying? God's in our midst. It doesn't make sense to me. I laugh about it all the time. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, why would you even want to be in the midst of this? But He does. He's right there in every day of your life, everything going on. He's right in the midst of it. Amen? Stand to your feet if you would. Can I have my prayer team come down? I realize that some of this may be new to you. Some of you, this may not be new to you. It may be old hat to you, but you know, it's that piece of exercise equipment that's been in the closet. It's got a lot of dust and cobwebs on it. Maybe you need to go home and get it cleaned out. But I want you to know, I know God works. I know that when we pray, He hears our prayers, and I know that when He hears our prayers, that He's going to answer. And so we're here up front to pray for you today. If you're here Whatever's going on in your life and you want some agreement, the Bible said if two of us agree to touch anything, he can do it. Well, then I want you to know, I'm going to tell you, it can get solved and resolved today. Everything fixed, lined up? No. I can't promise you that. I can just promise you the answer's coming. It's everything's going to line up. You hear what I'm saying? It's going to line up. So don't leave this building today if you need prayer. Do you want some agreement this morning? And I want to ask you if I can pray this over you. Can I pray that we all have a supernatural dose of some hunger? I'm not talking about food. I already told you mine's cold right now because we couldn't figure out how to make the oven work. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. But I want to stay hungry for God. So is that all y'all too? Y'all want to stay hungry for God? Well, then let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come into agreement here this morning, Lord. We want to stay hungry for you. We want to walk with you, Lord God. We don't want to get over and get distracted by the things in life. And so we pray right now for a supernatural hunger on the inside of us. We know that naturally now, Lord, we've got to take from this prayer and we've got to read, we've got to stretch ourselves, we've got to be eating more times of the day of your word so that we continue to build that fire of hunger. But Lord, right now I just pray for a supernatural, unbelievable Holy Ghost anointing for just hunger for your word. The Lord will just have to seek you and seek you and seek you and knock and knock and knock so that we can find you. So I ask, Lord, today that as we leave this building, we take away from this room a hunger. We take away from here this morning, Lord God, our fellowship with you and one another. And we go out into that world and we have an answer for people. It's you, Jesus. You're the answer. And we tell them and we help them and we direct them that we're blessings and lights in the midst of darkness. So, Lord, I thank you for that. Bless each and every one of them, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We're here for you if you need prayer.